we paid it off in October. And so, you know, we didn't have the whole year's worth of revenue, but we're gaining that revenue right now. And so next year, our goal is to pay for every single meal when our kids travel.
Hello, and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner here with Matt Anderson. Today, we're joined by Lance Moffitt, Director of Athletics and Head Football Coach at Fredericksburg ISD in Texas. He's going to tell us about their stadium video board, how it was funded and paid off early, and much more. We're here today with Lance. Lance, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks.
And
glad
Matt's
to be here.
And Matt's here with us too. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good today.
Good, good. So Lance, we want to hear from you today. Can you start by giving us your origin story, kind of a background of who you are and how you got to where you're at?
You bet. No, that'd be great. 28 years coaching, Texas high school coaching. Currently on the board of directors of the THSCA as a junior member, was elected on a couple of years ago. Grew up in Arlington, Texas. You know, my coaches influenced me starting in, you know, as soon as I started getting coached in Little League, you know, all the way back to my, you know, dads and stepdads and, you know, my friends' parents and stuff like that. Coaches always had a huge influence on me, and wasn't sure, you know, through college and high school, played high school and college football, played multiple sports in high school, got to play college football at Texas State, which used to be Southwest Texas, which is what I like to call it. Played there and wasn't sure, you know, really what I was going to do with my life. And again, my coaches came in and influenced me and reminded me that, you know, I'd been in athletics my entire life and that, you know, I'd probably be a good coach. And so kind of took it from there and changed my major and kind of, you know, hit the ground running and really have been coaching ever since. Graduated from Southwest Texas in 1991. This is my 28th year of coaching. Been all around the state. Started in the Houston area. Spent 15 years there. Spent 6 years in the Austin area, and then was blessed after that to come out to the Hill Country, to God's Country, where Fredericksburg, Texas is in the Hill Country of the state of Texas. So this was our 10th football season, and it's been nothing but a blessing. Had the ability to raise my children in a small town, and they both went to our program and played multiple sports and all of that. So that's kind of the nutshell of it, I guess.
No, that's cool. It's great to hear. That's a lot of different coaching experiences you've had. And I believe right now you're also the director of athletics, correct?
Right. Yeah, no, I'm a athletic director, director of athletics. You know, I kind of supervise everything from sixth grade through 12th grade, boys and girls sports. At our middle school, we have, we offer on the boys side, football, basketball, track, girls side, volleyball, basketball, track. Then we offer multiple individual sports. We added soccer a couple of years ago. High school, you had softball, baseball, swimming, golf, tennis, you know, and all the individual sports, track, cross country, all those things to it. It encompasses about, you know, 13 to 18 different sports at all the various different levels. So it's certainly an all encompassing job. Was blessed that the district let me add a girls coordinator 2 years ago. And so really on the girls side, I now only oversee girls basketball because she happens to be an assistant girls basketball coach, if that makes sense. So she oversees all the girls sports and I oversee all the boys sports plus, girls basketball.
Well, and I'm kind of curious then. So you've talked about, you know, how coaches have had an influence on your life. You've had a lot of experience in coaching. When did you know that you wanted maybe, you know, more than coaching, kind of going from that head football coach to athletic director as well?
You know, it's interesting. I going into it, you want to be who your heroes were, right? And my two heroes were my defensive coordinator in high school, Mike Stovall, and my head baseball coach, Gerald Brown. And so, and Gerald Brown was actually the one that both coached at Arlington High School. Gerald was actually the one that said to me at one point when I was at home in college working out in the summer, he said, you know, what have you done all your life? And I said, well, play sports. And he said, then you need to be a coach. And I you know, I took that to heart. I didn't really, you know, I wasn't sure, you know, when you're in college, you're going to college, you know, you want to make your parents happy. This is what they want for your life. You know, parents want more for their kids than what they had. And so, you know, what do you want to do with your life? And that's not really what you want to do sometimes. And so in my case, it was, you know, and I just took that to heart. And those guys wanted to do that. When I started, I wanted to be the head baseball coach and a defensive coordinator. And that's not that that was selling myself short, but that's really all. I mean, that's all I knew. That's all I thought. Those were the guys that influenced me to be a coach. So that's what I thought I wanted to do. And then as you get into it, you know, honestly, quite honestly, coaching baseball is a lot harder than coaching football because of all the extra work you have to do in terms of maintaining the field and mowing the grass and raking the dirt. And I, you know, I used to joke that when you're a baseball coach, you're a frustrated farmer because you're always trying to keep the weeds out of your grass and the weeds off your dirt. And, you know, I mean, it's just, and it was more excessive time than coaching football was. And of course, football historically is known for the amount of time coaches spend, you know, in the field house watching film and stuff like that. And so I just, I had some other good influences when I was a young coach. You know, when my first high school job was in Conroe, Texas, and I had some really good influences there that, you know, kind of encouraged me to get my master's degree. And as you're going to get your master's degree, you know, what are you majoring in? What are you going to get it in? I just decided to get it in school administration, and really had no desire to be a principal or a central office administrator. Always, I just love, you know, I mean, I'm doing this podcast and I've got on shorts and tennis shoes. So, I mean, I just love being in shorts and having a whistle around my neck. And I get to travel all over the state of Texas to go to games, and, you know, I get to do what people do for fun and I get paid to do it. So that's kind of the deal about it. It's just it kind of evolved that way. And it's certainly I don't want to sell it short. It's a demanding job. And, you know, we've got to make some big time decisions at times. And, you know, there's times it's not such a fun thing to do, but most of the time it's like that. You know, I spend most of my time in a car traveling to sporting events. So that's, you know, a lot of people do that on weekends for hobbies.
Right. Oh, that's awesome. So you're at Fredericksburg now. Can you tell us about the equipment that you guys have on site and what you get to see during football games?
Yeah. So this is actually the fifth season. We started in 2016 was our first season. So 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. So this is our fifth season to have the board for football. Certainly we use it for track. We use it for soccer. The technical side of it in terms of specifics, we have a video scoreboard, and I couldn't begin to tell you the dimensions. It's huge. Everyone in our school district calls it the Jumbotron. It's even been named the Moffittron because I was the one that kind of helped get it going. And that was probably a negative connotation in that, but it's a big, you know, a big video board surrounded by the traditional style scoreboard. It's a little more traditional. I know the new ones that are coming out, it's all video, and the scoreboard, you know, insets itself in the video board. And that'll probably be our next upgrade, I guess. But we're going to stick with this one for at least 15 years. We've had it for 5. And so we want to go at least 10 more years of generating revenue. But it's awesome. You know, during the game, we do instant replays. We just finished hosting our 7th playoff game this year in Texas. The 4A and below playoffs started earlier than the 5A and 6A. And so because the 5As and the 6As were still playing at their stadiums, at the big districts and the big, you know, the big mega stadiums and all that stuff, there really wasn't anywhere for the smaller schools to play their playoff games. And so our equipment attracted people to our stadium every week. We hosted 7 playoff games over the course of 4 weeks. So one week we hosted 3 games. We hosted a Thursday night, and then we had a doubleheader on Friday. And then the next week we had a game on Friday and a game on Saturday. And then last week we had one, and then the following week this past week we had one. So, and you know, these smaller schools, you know, getting to see the equipment we have is awesome. You know, they get to see their instant replay, and we, you know, it's got the graphics when the, when there's a penalty, they put a little cartoon referee on there, and you know, it's just been a great deal. And for us, the piece that, and maybe you're going to ask me this, but the piece that sold it was the curriculum that we embedded in it was, you know, all of that operation I just mentioned is being done by students.
Okay.
who are led by a audio video broadcasting teacher that we hired when we, at the inception of the board, we hired this guy, created a new curriculum, and he was actually trained by you guys, and he still goes to training, you know, for, from Daktronics to keep up with the most current situation. In fact, he sent me an email yesterday requesting more equipment. So y'all are going to get some more business.
All right. We like to hear that.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. No, that definitely was a question I was going to bring up, Lance, too, is that whenever we hear of schools, you know, getting a video board, especially if they didn't have one before, what effect has that had on the school with the curriculum? And now, you know, we've talked with other customers too, Justin, on the podcast about, right, this ends up being a career thing, right? Like, so if they end up doing this in high school and they like it, they can then go to a college that has a video board, do it there. And then it's even a profession after that, right?
No, no question. And that's the deal. It's really cool. I learned this through the process. We had the Texas Farm Bureau was one of our corporate sponsors, and they had always sponsored our mom's football. And one of the guys that works there, he had actually done that at Texas A&M. And so as this was going on, as we were building the board and selling it and getting the money and all that stuff, you know, he's telling me about his experience. And I learned that at all these colleges, I mean, every home game is essentially run by the students. And so that kind of piqued my interest in that. This is something we can provide these kids. And certainly these kids are much more technologically astute than people my age are. I'm certainly not going to tell you my age, but, but you know, it's something these kids are interested in, and that's exactly what it's been. You know, we started out and they really didn't know what it was like, you know, and we had maybe 12 kids in it the first year, but now we have to close it because we have 35 to 40 kids that want to be in the program every year.
Wow.
And they're, I mean, in my mind, they're career ready. And one of the things that is unique to our community is we have a small film industry that is here in Fredericksburg. And so some of these kids have actually gone straight from our program into the film industry that, you know, it's certainly not big like it is in Hollywood or Austin, Texas, or wherever else the film industry is big. But we have kind of a satellite, small little film community, and we host a film festival every year. And so our kids are able to make that jump, you know, right into that deal. And so that was the main selling point that we sold our school board on when we were seeking their approval to do the project. So.
And you said you've had the display for 5 years now. This will be the fifth season. How did that process go when you were looking to get the display and looking for funding?
So the funding part, you know, ironically, you know, Fredericksburg is a German conservative community. We were settled in 1846 by, you know, Germans who landed at Galveston and started making their way west. And historically, you know, they'd rather spend five nickels and a quarter, if that makes sense. I mean, they very, very conservative with their money. And I mean that in a good way, as a compliment. We are very fiscally responsible as a school district.
Okay.
We provide everything that our programs need for our kids. We certainly don't always provide what they want, but we always provide what they need to be successful. And that's kind of our philosophy from a financial standpoint. And so, you know, when I first got here, we had a grass field, you know, because of drought, because of injuries, because of whatever, more and more schools in Texas are going to artificial surface. And I asked the superintendent at the time, I was like, we got to have artificial turf. And he said, not no, but hell no, we're not ever having turf in Fredericksburg.
Wow.
And so I had to, you know, I had to kind of rally behind that. And so the drought helped me out in that we destroyed our practice field, and then we had to start practicing on the game field. And so that kind of destroyed the game field. And so there was kind of a process that went along with that. And then we looked at supplementing water from the city, gray water from the city. And that was going to be a $250,000 project where they pump the gray water and we had to store it. And then we could use it for our sprinklers and whatever. And that didn't go. That our school board didn't want to put gray water where our kids were going to be playing, right? Rolling around in the dirty water from the sewage, right?
Yeah.
So at that point, my superintendent said, okay, we're going to get the turf. We started looking at the financing of it. We had money left over from previous year's bond elections that had been done for capital improvement projects, which were construction-only style projects. And we had, at that time, we had, you know, upwards of $10 million in that fund. And so we popped $1.5 million for the turf and the track. And, you know, at some point along that way, my mind started racing about the atmosphere I wanted to create during a football game. And for me, I wanted to create a college game day type atmosphere. And of course, at all the colleges, you know, they have the video boards and all the stuff. And so that's kind of where the inception came from. In the meantime, we got a new superintendent. And it's ironic, while we're finishing up the turf project, the first meeting the new superintendent shows up to, he asked me in front of all of these people who have been through this process and have fought me the whole way. He says to me, "Hey coach, when are we going to get a Jumbotron?" and so I knew that moment that he was like-minded like me.
Your eyes lit up. Yeah.
So, and he, you know, he had a vision of what, you know, his vision was that athletics is the front porch of the school district, right? You know, everybody sees the front porch before they actually go in the house. And so he wanted us to have that mentality. And so we teamed together. It took about 18 months. We started talking to the school board about it, and eventually, you know, they got on board with it. And we essentially took a zero interest loan. Our booster club, Billy Boosters, took out a zero interest loan from the school district. We wrote up an addendum that was an agreement between the school district and Billy Boosters that every dollar that was raised for the scoreboard would be paid back to the school district until the board was paid off. And okay. So we set it up at the guidance of Daktronics. Obviously, you know, your marketing department helped us kind of look at other schools that had done it. And we set it up, and we set it up in a deal where after 5 years, it would be paid off. And so, you know, we can get into specifics to that if y'all want to talk about that. But I mean, it was a $490,000+ zero interest loan that our school district gave our booster club, with the agreement that if it was paid off in time, after that, all the revenue would go to the booster club. And so now, you know, we, from this point forward, we paid it off this fall. And actually that was 8 months ahead of time, and we'd have paid it off a year ahead of time had the pandemic not happened. But we froze all payments when the pandemic happened, until we went back to school and started, you know, doing things. But at that point, you know, from here on out, we're going to generate between $100,000 and $120,000+ a year of profit.
Wow. So
it's a good deal.
Yeah. And that's kind of why, you know, one that we've talked about, one of the main, things that bring up today and having you on was you've had a board for 5 years, and your process from getting the display to now where you've had it paid off. We talked a little bit before the call today, Lance. I'm wondering if you could maybe just elaborate on what was it like to work with our Daktronics Sports Marketing Group, and then how did they help you figure out, you know, how you should be selling advertisements on that board?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing they taught me, and I'll shout out to Danny Broughton. He was the guy out of the San Antonio office that kind of helped me, you know, do the marketing deal. But he taught me that I was a salesman. You know, I didn't really... You know, you guys asked me earlier about my career path and all that stuff. I mean, I never saw myself as a salesman. But with Danny's coaching and the information that he provided, you know, he helped set up process of how we were going to do it. Meaning we have have four anchor sponsors, which are the four corners of the board. Those are $12,500 a year. I'll just give you numbers so you can kind of visualize. Then we started out with six founding sponsors, which were three square size. The anchors were rectangles. The squares were between the rectangles from top to bottom. So we had six of those, three on each side, mm-hmm. plus the four. So we started out with 10, and then we had up to six or eight, which would be video only sponsors. You know, obviously all of that stuff came from Dactronics. I would have had no idea how to do that or what that would have looked like. What I gathered is that all came from what other schools had done. There's a school 23 miles from us, Kerrville, who had just done a Dactronics board as well. And so ours is very similar to theirs because they were less than 2 years apart of being built.
Okay.
And so we just kind of modeled their project. Danny kind of helped me set that up. You know, he asked me, you know, how much money would you like to generate? I said, well, as much as I can. I mean, I wanted a static, and so part of our goal on this too, I wanted a static source of income for our booster club that wasn't so reliant on, you know, selling hot dogs or concession stands, or, I mean, we used to joke in booster clubs, we're schlepping hot dogs, man. We're selling candy bars. We're, you know, and so this was a way for us to have a source of income. And it really didn't cost anybody because these companies that support us, they're already spending money on advertising. And so the package that Dactronic put together, you know, we had an anchor level, a founder level, and a premier level is what they called it. And premier is video only. And then the anchor and the founder are the static signage that's on the board that's lit every time the board's on. And then what's happened over the 5 years is we've expanded that to tie into our all sports program so that those sponsors are also our platinum level sponsors in our program. And I mean, we've really unified our whole advertising project. And so it's just made it, you know, much easier for people to get support of our program and also get the recognition. And the recognition part, you know, most of them don't even want the recognition. They see it as a donation anyway. But when they get to see, you know, they come to a game and now they expect it. You know, now I get calls from people saying, hey, I didn't hear my ad enough. Right. How come, you know, how come they didn't say my name, you know, or whatever. I mean, and so to go from people who just wanted to donate money to our program to them understanding that this y'all are part of our brand now, that mm-hmm. was the piece that Danny and Dactronics really helped me understand. And then, you know, he helped me go the first three meetings we had, and the first one was unsuccessful. Like the first meeting we had, the guy turned us down. The second meeting was successful. And then the third meeting was successful. And then from there, I kind of took it and continued with it. And so he kind of taught me that I could do sales, obviously. And so, you know, that's from that point on, you know, I've tried many times to get someone on the Booster Club to do it, but it's so important to me that I can't turn it over to somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's around my neck, I guess, is what.
There you go. And I was going to ask, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but I was going to ask how your sponsors had liked the attention that they get from the display. You said they like being more part of your team and view it as a donation. Have you heard feedback from them about how their ad is used on the display versus other options?
Yeah, no, I mean, they like it. The interesting thing about that is, you know, we're a small town. It's funny to me, the newspaper, I'm really good friends with the editor of the newspaper. He's a great guy, man. They cover us like nobody's business. I mean, a small town newspaper, you talk about coverage of your small town sports, it's unbelievable. But when we rolled this out, like he was mad at me because he thought that I was going to be stealing his advertisers, right?
Oh.
And so it created a negative at first. And so what I learned through this whole deal and what I've heard from these sponsors is they're already spending that money anyway. Like not a single sponsor on our board doesn't spend money in the paper now, right? In lieu of the money they're spending in our athletic program. They do both. And so the key is using your audio broadcasting class, which we alluded to earlier, we've had those kids make some commercials for these, you know, businesses. And that's the other thing we didn't really mention, but during a game, all of these sponsors, if they have a commercial or if our class has made them a commercial, they get a pregame 15-second commercial and an in-game 15-second commercial. And these kids, led by this adult, are the ones deciding when that happens during a game, you know, during a timeout or during a transition from one quarter to the next or whatever. And so they're all getting these commercials. They don't all have them because they haven't taken the time to either let us make it for them or get one from their home company or whatever. But we have, for instance, we had Chicken Express. Well, they have corporate level commercials. Mm-hmm. And so they came on board this year. They actually, you know, just took a corporate commercial, cut it down to 15 seconds, and that's what we run. And so, but then four or five of the others, they have commercials that we've made for them, and they give us a script, and our class, our audio video broadcasting class, puts it all together, and then they review it, and if they like it, that's what we play. So, you know, I think the feedback has been exceptionally good. Certainly, you know, there's been some negative. We have some companies that, you know, they say we don't play their stuff enough, you know, and they, I mean, it's just like coaching. I mean, if your kid's not the starting quarterback, you know, then I made a bad decision or whatever. I mean, we don't do it on purpose. You know, it just didn't happen that particular game. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry you were at the game and we didn't get a chance to play your thing, because what we learned, and our teacher, John Hex was his name. He runs our audio video broadcasting. It's hard. We have so many sponsors now that it is really hard. We always do. We get all of their content in. We certainly get all their video content in. You know, they also get a tagline that our announcer records. He pre-records it, and then it gets played multiple times during the game. And so it's created this, you know, if you come to one of our games, really, if you come to any of our stuff, you know who our sponsors are because they're part of our brand and you hear their name at everything we do. We also partner with another company called Game Time, and they provide audio music. It's supposed to be family friendly music, but we take all these same sponsors we have for the scoreboard and we put their taglines on that. So when they do their tagline or whatever, it gets played at all of our sports, not just the sports that have the scoreboard in it, if that makes any sense.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm wondering, you mentioned, you know, sometimes you've had these additional events that you've been hosting now.
Yeah.
And I'm always been curious, does that affect the sponsorship level type stuff as well? Do you get more of an income now because you have more events, or is it kind of tied into the existing packages?
You know, that's their bonus content. Okay. And so the other thing that I didn't mention, but, you know, Daktronics also, you guys helped us, Danny and his crew helped us with the contract. They kind of had some templates of some contracts that other schools had done between these sponsors. And so we were able to put together these contracts. And so what I'm looking for every year is to make sure that they get what we agreed upon in their contract. And then from day one, we have provided them with more content because, you know, this is Texas. Obviously, football is the thing, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like Indiana, it'd be basketball, right? But the only thing that they're guaranteed is 5 home varsity football games. But throughout the year, I mean, we do our audio video broadcasting class. They'll do 3 girls soccer games. They'll do 3 boys soccer games. They'll do all of our track meets. They'll do our elementary school field day. They'll do Special Olympics. And then you add in the added bonus of playoff games. This year, because of the pandemic, we've hosted 7 playoff games. Before this year, we've never hosted more than 2, maybe 3 playoff games. But that's all bonus content. And so what we try to do, we weren't able to do it last year because of the pandemic, but we try to invite those sponsors to an appreciation luncheon at the end of the year. And we kind of summarize for them how much bonus content they got. And then that normally curbs those people who came to a game and didn't hear their spot or whatever.
Right.
You know? And so, oh, by the way, we played it 7 more times during these playoff games, you know, or we played it 10 more times during the elementary school field day that starts at 8 a.m. and seems like it goes on forever and doesn't end till 3.
Yeah. and that's good bonus content, though, because that's a diverse audience there, too.
And you've got 800 elementary school kids and all their parents in the stadium. You know, I mean, there's 1,600 people in the, you know, or 3,200 people in the stadium, you know, getting that extra content. So, and it's not always the same. We don't always run their commercials and stuff like that, but it's a football game. we run it just like a football game. And when it's a soccer game, we try to run it like a football game, but it's not the same thing, because in a soccer game, they start the 40-minute clock and it runs for 40 minutes unless somebody gets hurt. So mm-hmm. you don't get to run the commercials as much during the game and stuff like that. We try to do them in pregame. We try to do them at halftime. But we try to give them all the same content. And then for the kids, it's a huge experience for those soccer kids to get instant replay in a soccer game. You know, every time we score, we run an instant replay of the scoring play or whatever. So it's good. And all that bonus content is just, you know, icing on the cake, I guess, is what I would describe that.
And we've been talking about the students helping run it. You have a teacher who helps out as well. I'm just kind of curious, where's the control room at then? Is that out at the field, or is it kind of in a different facility?
So yeah, that's interesting about our facility. We have a field house that is on the end of our football field, and actually the scoreboard itself sits right behind the field house. And the field house houses our locker rooms and our training room and our coach's office and all that. But we have an old field house that is beneath the bleachers on our home side. It was built in the 1950s. I mean, it's archaic, right? But what we did is we gutted the old coach's office and an old locker room area, and we refurbished it, and we put AC, HVAC in there so that it would have mm-hmm. central air or whatever. And so it's underneath the stadium. And the interesting thing is that's also like become their green room, where they also do our announcements on what would be a TV channel, Batlin Billy channel. That's our mascot, the Batlin Billies. And so they use those same cameras and all that same equipment to broadcast our morning announcements. They only do the morning announcements once a week in that format, but they use that same room. So yeah, to answer your question, it's underneath our stadium. And the other thing that we did is we upgraded our headset system for our football team about 5 years ago, and we passed along the old headset system to the AV broadcasting group so that they're all in communication now. Instead of being on walkie talkies or on cell phones or whatever, they've all got on a headset system, so they look like the football team when they're, you know, they're all, the guys on the cameras have their headsets on, and you know, they're all in communication with the head guy. So
nice.
It's quite an operation.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It sounds like it's even that professional level operation with the headsets and everything they've got going on there. I got to know, what's your favorite aspect of having this video display now for the past five seasons? I mean, maybe other than the fact that it's paid off. But
that's number one, that it got paid off.
Okay.
And I'd like to speak to that. We our Billy Boosters actually got it paid off early. Our sponsors continued to pay the whole time, but they got it paid off early, because they wrote a grant to a local foundation. And the lady who owns the foundation, it's the Owen Stye Foundation here in Fredericksburg. She's a very benevolent, person who has donated tons of money all around our community to build hospitals and to build university center and all these things. We wrote a grant for her, and she liked our business model. She liked the fact that we took a zero interest loan from the school district of money that wasn't being used right at the moment. And we paid it. We were going to pay it back, and then we were going to generate revenue down into the, you know, we're looking at 15 years is what we're hoping. The board's going to last 15 years. We set aside enough money every year to pay for the extended warranty so that Daktronix still gets to work on it. Right.
So that
we're not turning it over to our maintenance department, and they do a great job, but I want people from Daktronix working on our board. So we do that so that we can make it last the 15 years. So for me, that's the best part, that we got it paid off. She gave us $100,000. She basically took us ahead a whole year, which was enabled us to pay it off a year early. Then the pandemic happened, and so that kind of slowed things down a little bit. But we're probably 6 months behind where we had originally planned on being once we got the donation. And then for me, you know, this will probably make the video people mad, right? But the best thing for me from the inception was the sound system. We had a horrible sound system. We had old timey, again, our stadium was built in 1954. So we had old timey speaker system that, you know, like we had a throw speaker that threw sound to the other side. And I mean, our sound was awful. And so the first time we used the video board, it had the sound box right in the middle of it. And the way it's designed, as you know, obviously, is to throw sound to the home side and to the visitor side and kind of throw it over the field of play. And I mean, for me, that was the best thing, because now I can, you know, I can play my Spotify on my phone during football practice and it sounds good. Right. I mean, nice. And that's, I mean, seriously, I mean, that's, and I can do it remotely. Like I can be down at football practice and change a song. And that is like, that's like amazing to me that I can do that.
You know? And you said you weren't very tech savvy, Lane. You're not giving yourself enough credit.
No, yeah. I think I'm pretty tech savvy now, cause I can do that. Right. Yeah. But that's, because I, you know, that's part of what goes on in football now, is that everybody plays music during practice to create the noise of a game and all that kind of stuff. And we've kind of always done that, but it's never been good. And once we got the new scoreboard, all of a sudden it was really good. And I was like, man, this is awesome. So for me personally, that's the thing I like the most.
Nice.
I'm kind of curious, maybe it's too soon to ask this, Lance, is now that you have this, a revenue stream going, right, because the board is paid off, is there anything on the horizon you have your eyes set on?
You know, I do. We need a new weight room. We need a larger weight room. And so we're in the process of, our school board is muddling over a bond issue and what's going to be on the bond issue. And so part of my original plan was that Billy Boosters would be able to commit not all of it, but a certain amount of money over time per year to a bigger building project, like a new weight room or an indoor practice facility or a new coliseum/gym, you know? And so we're going to try to team it up with a bond issue where the school district is maybe going to, let's just pretend like they decided they wanted to build a new gym. So then I would go back and say, okay, you're going to build a new gym. So now I want to let Billy Boosters provide this much money to attach a new weight room to it, because we need to double the size of our weight room. So yeah, I mean, I've got some specific things that I'm looking at. Spend it all yet, but
because that's the aspect too, right? When you're talking about things to spend on capital improvements, is sometimes when it's a video board's brought up, right? It's a video board or bleachers or something else, but aside from making sure you have safety in mind, there's something to be said about, if you get the video board, then you can end up having that pay for the other things that are on that list.
Yeah, no question. And the other thing that, you know, we're in the business of taking care of kids. And so I don't know how many people know this about Texas or not, but in my career, 28 years, when I started coaching and when I played, when I traveled to a game, my school district fed me. Like I got a meal. Like,
okay.
And it wasn't my coach stopping at Whataburger and me going in and spending my own money. It was my coach stopping at Whataburger, and I go in and he pays for all the meals, and then he takes the receipt back and the school district reimburses him because we take care of kids. Over the course of school finance in Texas, that's all gone away in most school districts. Most school districts only pay to feed kids when they go to post district play. So when they go to the playoffs, I guess.
Yeah.
And so one of the things our booster club was adamant about was, we have all, every school in Texas has come up with a system where our parents work together to feed our kids when they travel. And so what we decided we wanted to do, and our treasurer and our booster club has worked really hard on this, is we're going to take a big portion of this money and we're going to make sure that all of our kids get a meal when they leave. Because a lot of times we'll take a kid out. We live in the hill country and we're not necessarily close to all of our opponents. And especially when you talk about West Texas, mm-hmm. where opponents might be 2.5 to 3 hours away, we have some of that here too. So we take a kid out of school at 2:00 on a Friday afternoon and we drive them to a game 3 hours away. They play the game at 7:00. The game's over at 9:00. They get home at midnight, right? And so we don't feed them. Like, they got to bring their own food.
Yeah,
like, I mean, that doesn't make sense. So what we, part of this money has already, this year in particular, Billy Boosters has already voted and agreed that we're going to pay for 25% of the road meals for every sport.
Wow.
And our goal is next year, when we have this entire amount of revenue, this year we paid it off in October. And so, you know, we didn't have the whole year's worth of revenue, but we're gaining that revenue right now. And so next year, our goal is to pay for every single meal when our kids travel. So that's, you know, that's just a, you know, that's more of a, I don't want to say humanitarian thing, because I think that's what we ought to be doing. Mm-hmm. Right. But the school districts, that's one of the first thing that they all cut out when it came time to start cutting budget. So it's a big deal for us to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome that you're able to do that.
That is.
And I also want to thank you, Lance, for taking time to come talk to Matt and I today and share everything that you're doing down there in Fredericksburg and share all about your video display and congratulations, of course, on having it all paid off.
We certainly appreciate that. This is awesome. I'm glad I got to do it.
Yeah, thanks again, Lance.
You bet. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Daktronics Experience Podcast. Please subscribe at your favorite place to listen to podcasts to keep up with our latest episodes.